You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
In the words of Lou Brown, that, my friends, is a winning streak.
Yeah, how nice is it? You know, isn't it wild, the ups and downs of this baseball season? It all feels lost, and then they can't be stopped. And you look at the standings, and they're right around 500. I mean, this is exactly what Major League Baseball wants for a majority of its cities, to be still in it. But approaching the trade deadline with that should they not debate happening amongst its fan base. You look at the American League right now, there's what, two teams that are out of it? So that additional wild card spot has certainly done the trick. And well, last night the offense doing the trick, three home runs. They've now gone deep in 9 straight road games. C-Dot, I find it funny you're talking about Jack Caglione earlier. Royals last night with their 9th multi-home run game of the year. 6 of the 9 have come since the promotion of Jack Caglione. I don't think that's a coincidence. You know, he's a part of it once, but there's just no convincing me otherwise that his presence in the lineup, him standing in the on-deck circle, doesn't make you approach this Royals lineup slightly differently.
All right, I do want to get to the Royals. There's a lot of things I want to get your opinion on, but I have two, I guess, life questions to ask you about before we really dive into the Royals. The first one is, today is the 50-year anniversary of the movie Jaws. Is there a movie that you haven't seen that people would kind of, maybe look at you away? Nathan said that movie for him is Shawshank Redemption. I have actually never seen Jaws myself. Do you have that movie that you haven't seen?
Well, Jaws, but there are thousands. I mean, just so many. I mean, most of those 80s movies, most 80s movies I've just passed on. So pick an 80s movie outside of really sports movies. Miss me on all of them.
Have you ever seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever sat down, watched it start to finish, but I think I've seen enough of it to piece it all together.
Have you ever seen Breakfast Club before?
No.
Okay. All right. Breakfast Club's really good.
All those John Hughes movies.
Okay. All right. That's important. That's important to note. I was just asking. Somebody on the text line says, I've never seen Goodfellas before. That seems like one of those movies that, like, every guy has seen, like Forrest Gump and Shawshank Redemption. Goodfellas is on that list of a movie that everybody's seen.
And if you have cable television, it's almost if you have TNT or TBS, it's almost impossible to miss. There was a 5-year, maybe it's still going on. I think it's more AMC now, but it's always on, and yeah, that's a classic. But again, that's 90s, right? So that's wheelhouse for your boy.
Okay, last question here is, I imagine that your wife is watching this show, but a lot of my friends are watching Love Island. I'm starting to have the feeling of, am I too old to be watching Love Island? But I'm seeing the clips, and everybody who watches the show makes it sound like it's a really fun show. Have you dipped into this a little bit? Like, I know at some point you're not watching the Royals and you're watching TV with the wifey. Are you watching Love Island?
She doesn't really. She only watches TikTok. She's been completely overtaken by TikTok. So she's basically out. She reads a lot, and when she does watch something, she's watching TikTok. No, I haven't watched that. But no, if you want to dive into it, I got no problem with it. I mean, I stuck with like the Real World Road Rules, like the challenge shows. I watched that for a really long time. I've since given up just because I don't know anybody anymore. I don't have any long-term relationship with any of the contestants. So, but I stuck with that. Up, you know, I was in my 30s still watching that. So, no, if you want to get in on Love Island, go for it.
Okay, you know what? I appreciate that. I got a Josh Vernier seal of approval that I can watch Love Island. I really needed that because I was on the fence about it. I was on the fence if I could be watching.
Let me push you over, man. Go dive in.
100%. We got our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. That's here. It did feel like yesterday it was sort of that kind of breath of fresh air for Jack Caglione to hit those home runs. Like, you know, it was just, hey, when's the first one going to be? When's the first one going to be? He hits one, then he hits the second one. And you're right, like, to see them hit with power for basically, you know, this three-game stretch was really encouraging. J.J. Piccolo earlier this week was talking about positivity and just staying positive when it comes to the offense. I mean, this is the series that I think the Royals have been waiting for. Their pitching was no different than it's been this year, but they finally started to drive in runs. And if you're going to score four, six, and six runs the way that they did in three straight days, this is just a very difficult team to beat.
Well, I mean, you have to score runs to win. We know the pitching's good enough. We believe the defense and the base running is good enough, but the offense has just not done anything to score. You know, I've said it countless times. I'll say it again. You can't be both. You can't be both punchless and clutchless. Royals are still, you know, now tied with Pittsburgh, but dead last in baseball in home runs. Also dead last in baseball when it comes to OPS with runners in scoring position. You can't be both because you don't score if you're both. If you're basically asking for a single and then a triple and we get our one run and that's it for the inning. Or we're going to piece together five straight singles and we're maybe mixing a walk in there and that's how we're going to score. Man, you're not going to win very often. You're still going to win occasionally because of that pitching staff. But you know, this series against San Diego, that's not going to do it. You need to be clutch. You need to come through with runners in scoring position consistently, or you need to hit for power consistently, or do a mixture of both. But you can't be the worst in both. And they're going to be tested here in San Diego. Nick Pivetta going tonight. They're going to see Dylan Cease coming up in game two. So the pitching is really going to ratchet up. You know, Texas has a nice bullpen. They have some nice arms. But the guys you're going to see the next two nights will really put this offense to test. And, yeah, as long as they do one of those two things, there's no shame in losing. No shame in losing a game or two to the Padres. No, you don't want to get swept. But you got to do one of those two things. Come through with runners in scoring position or hit for power. And, we're seeing the power show up. We'll see if it can happen consistently because they're big leaguers, right? Of course they can do it for three games. Can you do it for a month? We'll see.
You mentioned it just a bit ago about, you know, teams are trying to make those decisions on whether they're in it or not in it. Do you see the Royals as in it or are you kind of unsure? Because I'm kind of at that point. I think it can go in any direction. Like, you could tell me this team collapses and they're trading Seth Lugo in 2 weeks. You could tell me that this team wins 10 of its next 14 and they sit in the second wild card spot and we want them to go pick up a bat and try to go for it. Like, I feel like they're at that very interesting crossroads on whether they can go for it or not. You watch them as closely as anybody. Do you see this Royals team as being in it?
I do. When you make a move as aggressive as calling up Jack Caglione as early as you did to me, you can't retreat a month and a half, 2 months after that, barring some sort of catastrophic reason why you're retreating, right? An injury to someone that is, a Bobby, Bubich. You know, someone that is irreplaceable. Something like that happens, okay, we can discuss truly retreating and looking towards 2026. But no. To me, the offseason you had... Now you mentioned Seth Lugo. That doesn't mean that you can't trade Seth Lugo and still believe that you're in it. Because Lugo's gone after this offseason. Do you want to get something for him? Do you want to take him all the way to free agency and lose him for nothing? You know, I think there is a way, and all you got to do is look at what the Detroit Tigers did a season ago. Tigers had a very similar record to the Royals. In fact, I think they had an even worse record than the Royals do right now. They traded away a bullpen arm. They traded away one of their top two pitchers, starting pitchers, and Jack Flaherty traded him to the Dodgers. They traded Mark Canna away. So the Tigers sold, but didn't truly sell, right? They weren't trading Tarek Skubal like someone, and they weren't building for years down the line. They were parting with guys that had expiring contracts, but giving their key players still the opportunity to go out there and win on a daily basis because they thought they had enough depth. If you believe in, you know, Noah Cameron and Chris Bubich for the home stretch, well, maybe you can part with a Seth Lugo. Maybe you're going to give Kyle Wright a start in September. Maybe the 45-year-old Rich Hill can hold things down for a few weeks in that number five spot in the rotation. There is a way where you can trade a guy like Seth Lugo and still be in it, still make an acquisition, still bring in the bat that this team needs to hit in that five spot between Vinny and Jack Caglione, to allow Salvi to drop in the seventh spot, to allow Salvi to be in a not less important position, but you can't ask a 35-year-old in the summer months in Kansas City to hit cleanup, to hit in the five spot, to be one of the key cogs of your offense. So I think they could still part with a Seth Lugo and still bring in that bat. So maybe that's a long way of saying, yeah, I can see all avenues. But the only way I see the truly wave the white flag avenue is if some sort of massive injury befalls this team.
Right now, we're talking to our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, just getting his thoughts coming off the sweep that the Royals just had of the Rangers. We have passed the 50 AB mark for Jack Caglione. What have you seen that's encouraging? What have you seen that you feel he needs to work on?
Well, it's all been encouraging. You know, you mentioned it. That home run was a sigh of relief for him. Certainly for him, right? He's even made mention of it. You know, you're wondering when it's going to come. But if you're watching these games, if you're a fan, a teammate, a coach, an executive, the owner of this team, man, you're nothing but encouraged. Now, it's nice to see the result be a ball go over the wall. But if you've watched him through these first 14 games, it wasn't a when's it going to happen, is it going to happen, it's happening, it's probably going to happen today. Cags has been very impressive. The strikeouts, you know, the chase hasn't been as bad as I think many expected right out of the gate. Now, I understand the strikeout numbers are still, I don't know if they're concerning. You know, 12 strikeouts, 12 hits in 14 games. Okay, yeah, I was never looking at him to be the difference maker for this offense. What I wanted him to be and what I think he is a weapon. You know, someone that the other team needs to game plan for. Someone that you say, all right, we got to pitch the guy in front of him differently because of that guy standing in the on-deck circle. I mean, the average big leaguer sees about 28% off-speed stuff. Jack Caglione right now getting 41%, because why would anyone give this dude a heater? You made a mistake yesterday, threw one at his neck, and he belted it to dead center field. I mean, the exit velocity that we're seeing on a consistent basis is reflective of some of the most powerful bats in the game. So everything that you had hoped, to me, has come to fruition, and the biggest of concerns, to me, have been silenced to a certain extent 14 games into his career. You know, defensively on the base paths, is he going to be a strikeout machine? Is he going to be chasing out of the zone endlessly? To me, it's been, positive marks across the board.
Couple more questions here, Vernon. We appreciate your time. The first question is about the second opinion for Cole Reagans. So from Aaron Rodgers, while in Texas, Cole Reagans received a second opinion on his diagnosis, which is standard practice. The evaluation shows what the Royals originally thought. Cole Reagans is suffering from a rotator cuff strain, but it isn't as severe enough that would require more than just simple rest and recovery. Quote, it could be a lot worse from Reagan. Obviously, I don't want to be on the IL. I want to be out there helping my guys and helping the team. It sounds weird to say, given a guy who has had some arm elbow issues in his career and so far this season, but this sounds like good news for Reagan's that he will be back at some point, I would say between now and August.
Yeah, certainly good news. Andy Rogers does a terrific job for MLB.com. And again, to go back to the Seth Lugo conversation, good news if you truly believe that Cole Reagans is going to be back and you think he's going to be healthy and he's going to be a force, it could make moving a guy like Seth Lugo all that much more easy, right? Trade deadline 6 weeks from yesterday. So, yeah, hopefully there's no setback. Better than he's going under the knife, he needs surgery. So, yeah, good news, but a long way away before we see him on the bump. You know, actions speak louder than words. If they move Seth Lugo, that's them telling you, oh, yeah, we feel good about Reagans.
All right, last thing here. Actually, I got two more things here. One's Royals-related, one's not Royals-related. Are you surprised that Bobby Witt Jr. wasn't leading shortstops at his position?
Yeah.
I was just surprised to see that, especially because it'd be one thing if you were losing to a Yankee or a Red Sox, you know, a team that has like such a great built-up fan base, such a bigger city than Kansas City. It would make sense why you were losing the popular vote. To be losing to a team that doesn't have a home with the A's, I was surprised that Bobby Witt wasn't leading his position.
Yeah, I don't get it. You know, I understand if honestly, my guess would be, and the way that you vote now, you can organize it by batting average, by home runs, by OPS, and really, no matter what you select, Bobby's not at the top. Jack Wilson, Jeremy Pena, they're at the top, and you know, I'm guessing a lot of people maybe just go through, pick either their favorite team or the guy that has the best OPS, the best batting average. You would like to think that Bobby Witt Jr. has broken through and he's a guy that people seek out and make sure that his name is selected. But, you know, I don't know if voting is like that necessarily anymore. Like, where's Mike Trout rank? You know, is there a name in the starting lineup? Is there a leading vote getter that is on there on name alone? You know, maybe I should know this off the top of my head, but I remember, I mean, so did you. Back in the day, Cal Ripken was an automatic, whether he deserved it or not. Derek Jeter was an automatic to be leading their position, whether they deserved it or not. I don't know if those guys exist anymore or if baseball fans view the All-Star game like that anymore. I was curious, and I don't know if you touched on it, C-Dot, if you, you know, especially for someone that's not, you know, knee-deep into the baseball minutiae and unwritten rules and the, you know, you're not a baseball nerd like me. What did you think of the silent treatment that the boys gave Jack Caglione after his first home run?
I thought
or
it was,
what do you think about the silent treatment altogether?
I thought it was kind of cool. Baseball just has like its own traditions that like seem silly to outsiders but make sense to them. Kind of like, you know, you and your friends probably have like inside jokes or a nickname that you call somebody that it doesn't have to make sense to me. It just has to make sense to the group. That's how I took it.
Okay. Okay. Good. I was interested because I was racking my brain and trying to think of another, you know, silent treatment instance, you know, instance rather, you know, Hosmer, Gordo. I mean, back in the day, is it more of a new thing? Because I've heard of it. I just can't think of a memorable silent treatment. But that's Jack Caglione, one of the top prospects in baseball, his first big league home run, and the boys decide now's the time. I'm not a fan of it. I got no problem with it. You know, it's a totally different generation. Who cares what I think? But I was just surprised, especially since I can't think of a really memorable one in the past.
Last thing here, Vern, who do you have winning game 7? And I don't want to hear you are going to get off in enough time that you'll be able to watch game 7 on Sunday.
For sure. For sure. I'll be, I mean, I'm picking the Thunder. You know, if I'm betting, I'm certainly picking the Thunder. I think I'll be rooting for Oklahoma City. But it's weird watching this series. I found myself pulling for the Pacers. I didn't think that would be the case. We'll see if it changes on Sunday night, but I would bet the Thunder for sure.
That is our guy, Josh Vernier, joining us on the show today, our Royals insider. Vern, man, enjoy the official start of summer, man. We appreciate you.
Yes, indeed. Thank you.
Absolutely. That is our guy, Josh Vernier, joining us on the show. Someone texted in, C-Dot, Jacob Wilson has been better. How is it not hard to understand? You're certainly right from a numbers perspective. I'm just a little bit surprised from a young superstar who seems to be very recognizable in the game. He plays for a very passionate fan base. I mean, some of this, we all know how all-star voting goes. I mean, look at the teams that are like, look at the guys that are in it. They're usually a little bit more household names. They normally just have better fan bases. Like, I'm just a little bit surprised that Bobby Wood Jr., who seems to have one of the more popular jerseys, I'm just surprised he is losing the popular vote to a fan base that just doesn't really seem to exist. I mean, no one is an A's fan right now. They don't have a home in Oakland. They don't really have a home in Vegas yet. They don't really have a home in Sacramento. Maybe the argument is that they're pulling from a little bit of everywhere, and that ends up being the difference. But I don't usually think that whoever is having the best season always decides who starts the All-Star game. A lot of times it's just like simple name recognition. And if you're comparing the two between Bobby Wood Jr. and Jacob Wilson, it's not really close who has the name recognition. So that's the part that just kind of stood out to me is like, oh, I'm kind of surprised he's not winning the popular vote.
I actually hadn't looked at the All-Star voting totals until you and Vern were talking about it there a minute ago. And I'm generally, I think, kind of surprised at how accurate the voting is regarding who's playing well. Mike Trout is the third leading vote getter in AL outfielders. That's probably not accurate. James Wood should probably, from the Nationals, should probably be, you know, one of the three leading vote getters for the NL outfield as well. But otherwise, it's like who's actually playing well this year. And that's not what I'm accustomed to from the voting. Like you guys were talking about, Jeter used to be automatic, Ripken automatic, Trout automatic. You would think that just by waking up, Bobby Witt Jr. would lead this vote. And I'm not saying he's been better than Jacob Wilson, but yeah, I'm surprised as well that Jacob Wilson's leading the vote.
Yeah, no, for sure. The guy followed up and said Jacob Wilson has a big following in the baseball called world. Okay. I mean, that might be true. It might not be true. I'm just saying is if I had asked you guys a month ago, is Bobby Wood Jr. a superstar? A lot of you would have told me yes. If you were losing to Jacob Wilson, because of card collectors, you ain't a superstar then. That's why it caught me a little bit off guard. It surprised me a little bit. We're talking about a guy who last year was one of the five best players in baseball. I would assume there's like a built-in support. There's like people that, oh, I recognize him. Oh, I'm going to vote for him. And it's not like Witt's having a bad season. He's just not having like a great season. He's not hitting 320 with 15 home runs. But last year, I mean, Witt was kind of everywhere in a baseball space. He did the home run derby last year. He started the All-Star game last year. Came in second in MVP voting. Usually you see that kind of momentum just carry over from a year-to-year basis, and it is just not carried over for Bobby Wood Jr.
Right, and all due respect to the baseball card collecting community, I'm also surprised in the same vein that Anthony Volpe is fifth, and he's gotten a third of the votes as Jacob Wilson has. Usually these types of markets and these types of players just sort of gravitate towards the top of these ballots, except for obviously 2015 when Kansas City just took over All-Star voting. So no, I don't think it has a lot to do with maybe Bobby Wood Jr. not being a star. I also don't think it has much to do with card collecting. I think the voters are just doing a good job this year compared to usual.
Hey, you know, a shout out to the baseball voters, you know? Shout out to the baseball voters for getting it right when it comes to the All-Star game. Where's the All-Star game at this year? It's in Atlanta this year, isn't it? Because they lost it because of the political stuff, and now they got it back. So, you know, it is in Atlanta this year. I like to think that we're actually going to get one pretty soon. If the Royals build a new stadium, they are certainly getting the All-Star game again. So we'll see. You know what? This feels like a 2031, 2032 Kansas City once again hosts the All-Star game in a brand new stadium, kind of like Atlanta, whether that is in downtown Kansas City or it is somewhere in Overland Park. All right, coming up on the other side, you know what? Let's talk a little bit of Chiefs as they are winding down. It's actually now completed. They are done with their off-season workouts. What do I want to see between now and heading to St. Joe? We'll get to it next. Keep it right here, so drive. All right, welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Really excited to be here with you guys on this wonderful, wonderful Friday. Hopefully you had a great Thursday, a great Juneteenth. Hopefully you're having a great Friday as well. And hopefully you got some great summer plans coming up this weekend. All right, I want to talk about two separate players. Let's start with Trey Smith. His contract seems like the one that the Chiefs need to address first. He is currently playing under the franchise tag. He's the only player in the National Football League who was playing under the franchise tag. For those of you that don't know what that means he is currently under a one-year, fully guaranteed $23 million contract. That obviously is a lot of money. And if you come to an agreement with him, you can kind of move the money around. He can have a low cap hit. You give him a big guarantee. You can move the money around. You can kind of finesse the money. You cannot finesse it on the franchise tag. It is in the best benefit of both sides to reach a long-term agreement. We had Nate Taylor on the show earlier. Here's what he said he's hearing about a Trey Smith extension.
Yeah, let's just remind the audience, Carrington, that like it really doesn't benefit the Chiefs to have Trey play on the franchise tag. We all know it's a one-year contract. It's, you know, it's an average. It's pretty ballooned based on, you know, where the salary cap is and obviously what that one-year contract is. But obviously he's in the prime of his career. He's part of the solution. He's not part of the problem, obviously. So with him being at mandatory minicamp, with Chris Jones even acknowledging that, hey, he probably did the right thing and he saved a little bit of money while also, you know, having this leverage to, you know, really have a contract that will make him the highest paid guard in the league. That's basically where this is trending. Based on my understanding, it's just a matter of how do you want to spread those years out, whether it's 4 or 5 years. That's basically what has always been the issue. But look, the Chiefs knew they were going to sign Trey Smith when they franchise tagged him, which of course prevented him from reaching the free agent market. Then you have all the draft process. Then you go through the draft. Then you're like, okay, well, we don't really have to talk really until like checks the date now. So look, it's good faith negotiation on Trey Smith's side. He's made it very clear that he wants to be a member of the Chiefs for the foreseeable, not just this, you know, 2025 season. So I would say that, you know, I don't want to put an odds on it, but it's relatively high, right? Like, I'm not going to be surprised, and I don't think Chiefs fans should be surprised, Carrington, if on, I'm just picking dates now, kids, but on like July 8th, July 10th, the Chiefs and Trey Smith agreed to a deal.
I also believe that the Chiefs and Trey Smith are going to come to a deal. Usually in the NFL, if both sides want a deal to get done, it's going to get done. I think it's very important to note that Trey Smith is a sixth round pick. So I know he has made real money in a life sense. He hasn't made real money in a football sense. Now, you sign a 1 year, $23 million guaranteed deal. Yeah, you got real money coming your way, but you are also in line to probably double that in total guarantees. So if you're him, yes, playing and taking the 23 would be really good. You could probably get $45, $50 million in guarantees by simply signing a long-term extension. It's also with the franchise that you want to play for in a city that you feel comfortable in. There's just a lot of reason to do it. If you're the Chiefs, it gives you far more roster cap flexibility to get this deal done. Now, this is where we might just disagree on positional value. If you're currently looking at it, Trey Smith is the eighth highest paid offensive lineman in the National Football League. I'm not saying just at his position. There are only 7 offensive linemen in the entire National Football League that make more money than Trey Smith. I don't think he's the eighth best offensive lineman in the National Football League, but that's not how this thing works. The moment that you franchise tagged him and you guaranteed him the $23 million, this is the ballpark that we started to talk about. He is going to get very good left tackle money once he signs a contract. I mean, very good left tackle money at this point is $25 million. That's what Lane Johnson gets. That's what Laremy Tunsil gets. That's what Andrew Thomas, who plays for the Giants, get. I mean, he's right there in terms of high end. What does it cost to go get your left tackle? That's how much the Chiefs are about to be paying Trey Smith, we believe, in the next 20 to 25 days or so with the deal. Now, again, it is in their best interest to do it, and the Chiefs have shown you that their number one commitment is to trying to protect Patrick Mahomes up front. So they have spent a lot of money and a lot of resources to, in theory, be able to do that. They went out and they signed Jalen Moore. He has $21 million guaranteed coming his way. Trey Smith is about to get a top 10 contract for offensive linemen in the National Football League. And say what you want about Juwan Taylor, he is 16th highest paid offensive lineman in the entire National Football League. They've certainly invested a lot of salary cap space into the offensive line and certainly tried to spend the resources in that capacity. So that's the Trey Smith side of this. Let's talk about the Trent McDuffie part of this, a player who is obviously very important to what the Chiefs are doing defensively. He's their second best defensive player. We asked Nate Taylor, what is he hearing about a Trent McDuffie extension?
Let me say this definitively, Carrington. Since Brett Veach became the Chiefs general manager, the best draft pick that Brett Veach has ever made is Trent McDuffie. You have to sign him sooner rather than later. In fact, I would try to sign Trent McDuffie to the highest paid cornerback position contract before opening night, which is what you just did a year ago with Creed Humphrey, when everybody told you, man, isn't Creed Humphrey like the best center in the league the moment Jason Kelce retired? And it's like, yep, yes he is. It's undeniable. Trent McDuffie is the reason you traded and were comfortable trading Legarius Sneed to the Tennessee Titans in a trade that you immediately won based on the draft pick allocation. Trent McDuffie is the second best player on defense, only behind Chris Jones, who's already in Canton. So for the stability of the franchise, and because Trent McDuffie is the highest draft pick you've ever made in the first round as general manager, it would behoove Brett Veach to do this sooner rather than later. It's nice to say, like, yes, we're immediately picking up the fifth-year option of Trent McDuffie if, you know, it's not going to go well from a negotiation standpoint. But the moment they sign Trey Smith, as I said earlier, on July 10th, July 9th, whatever day it is, like, pop champagne, congratulate Trey Smith. The moment he walks out the door after signing that contract, pick up the phone and call Trent McDuffie and say, please, like, let's get a deal done now. That's how valuable you are. That's how good you are at a premium position. And he's proven it, and the money's only going to go up and up and up. So for the sake of trying to, again, put these nice core of players around Patrick Mahomes, man, you got to sign this dude sooner rather than later because he's better than Derek Stingley. And have you seen Derek Stingley's contract? Because I have. It's abominable. Sauce Gardner's going to make plenty of money, and he's now eligible too. Guess who the best cornerback in that draft class is? It's Trent McDuffie. So the best case scenario for the Chiefs, in my opinion, Carrington, is they do what they did with Creed Humphrey. Hey, man, we signed him to a new deal before the season started. Hallelujah. We're going to have Trent McDuffie throughout the prime of his career in a Chiefs uniform. Now, if I was advising Trent McDuffie, that's very nice. Those are all lovely praises. Yeah, let those other dudes get paid first.
So that was Nate Taylor. That's what he had to say about Trent McDuffie and what a contract extension for him looks like. Just to get into the money of what we're talking about at corner, the highest paid corner makes $30 million a year. The second highest paid corner makes $25 million a year. If I had to just throw out a number, this is just a guesstimation, Trent McDuffie will probably get paid somewhere between $26 and $31.5 million. Maybe he signs up to be the second highest paid corner in the league, but I'm guessing he probably wants to be the highest paid corner. If he wants to be the highest paid corner, that conversation starts at $30 million a year. Now, I agree with what we just heard Nate say. I mean, Sauce Gardner hasn't got paid yet. If you saw Patrick Surtain get paid, you saw Derek Stingley gets paid. Sauce Gardner, who might be the best man corner in the National Football League, he is also going to look to get paid. I only bring that up because if he is a player that you want the Chiefs to retain long term, you have to sign him this offseason. It is only going to be more expensive for this point. Right now, there's only one corner that makes $30 million a year. It could be two corners that make $30 million a year. So if that's the case and the market just continues to go up and up as the salary cap continues to go up and up and you've got a 24-year-old corner who has already been All-Pro two times, you don't really have a choice in that matter. You pay him. He's a great player. He is a cornerstone to what you do defensively. He has shown you great versatility. You have to pay Trent McDuffie in that context. So, I mean, there could be a scenario in which the Chiefs are giving out some big-time contracts over the next 3 to 4 weeks or so. I think the Trey Smith one is a no-brainer. I agree with Nate Taylor. I think it's in everybody's best interest to pay Trent McDuffie right now. Extend his contract. You can still get that one-year relief when it comes to the rookie wage scale. You just throw some guaranteed money at him. You can still keep your cap hit number really low. and you just get them before the number continues to go up and up and up. We've seen this happen time and time again. The number for great players doesn't get smaller. It only gets larger. He is a great player. He is arguably one of the three best corners in the National Football League. He will never be cheap. You are never getting a hometown discount on a 25-year-old all-pro corner. If he is a player that you want to retain long-term, you just simply pay him. And I suspect at some point the Chiefs end up doing that with Trent McDuffie. We can keep this conversation going. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk about the Royals as they are heading to San Diego, coming off a sweep of the Rangers. Keep it right here. It's The Drive. All right, welcome back into the show. We were just talking about Trey Smith and the likeliness, however you want to put it, on him getting a long-term deal. So if you look at the current, I guess, rankings of offensive linemen, Trey Smith is the eighth highest paid offensive lineman in the National Football League. The way that it goes is Tristan Wirfs, Penei Sewell, Trent Williams, Christian Darrisaw, Lane Johnson, Laremy Tunsil, Andrew Thomas, all of them either play left or right tackle. And then Trey Smith coming in at number eight. He is the eighth highest paid offensive lineman in the National Football League. I don't think that he is the eighth best offensive lineman in the league, but I think he's a very good player. Someone on the text line says, what makes you say that he's not a top eight offensive lineman? I think he was the third best offensive lineman on the Chiefs last year. I don't think he was one of the five best offensive linemen in the Super Bowl last year, but I think he's a very, very good player. So I'm not here telling you that I wouldn't pay Trey Smith. I don't think I would pay him what the Chiefs are ultimately going to pay him, but the Chiefs have already made that decision. Once you put the franchise tag on him, and I don't think they've ever really entertained the possibility of trading him, I think that the Chiefs have made a commitment to having Trey Smith around. Someone also texted in, CDOT, paying Trent McDuffie $26 million a year is simply illogical for Veach, who has not only proven to draft the corner position at all levels of the draft, but has never paid a corner significant long-term money. This is where I would disagree. I don't think the Chiefs have had an elite corner that they have let walk away. I don't think that's what Snead was. I think Snead is a good corner that is really good in this system, but I don't think that he has let an elite corner walk away. I know this for a fact, there was a lot of injury concerns with L'Jarius Sneed that also made them walk away. That's not really what you're dealing with Trent McDuffie. We're talking about a corner who has been very, very healthy in his first 3 years and has also been an all-pro his last couple of years. I think you can make an argument that he is the second most valuable player long-term currently on the roster behind Patrick Mahomes. I'm not saying like right now he's the best, but if we're talking of his age, his position, his productivity, you tell me the player that they currently have that is more valuable than him. And where I would be upset is, and the Chiefs and I just, we have different positional value charts. If you paid the center big time money, you paid the right guard big time money, you paid your middle linebacker who is not a sack guy, also not a great coverage guy, you paid him $15 million a year. And now we're arguing about paying one of the five best corners in the National Football League. That just doesn't make a lot of sense to me in how I would build my roster. If you are thinking what the Chiefs defense is going to look like beyond. So once Kelsey's done, it's centered around, to me, a really, really good 26, 27-year-old Trent McDuffie being the anchor on that side of the ball, and you building around the fact that you got one of the best corners who can play outside, who can play inside, who can do just a little bit about everything. McDuffie is a non-negotiable to me on who I would pay on their defense. We can have a conversation when we get to George Karlaftis, and I probably would be on the side of pay him. It just depends on what we're talking about and who do you kind of compare him to. I'm not giving him a Max Crosby contract, but I'd be very interested in keeping George Karlaftis around and paying him a long-term deal. I'm not really having a conversation about McDuffie. He's a young, healthy, elite corner. Those are guys you just pay.
I know it's a next off-season conversation, but I think my initial inclination on Karlaftis is to say pass for me. I agree with you that McDuffie's a non-negotiable, and I think he's getting 28+. I think it's going to be in a Chiefs uniform. I don't see the texter's point about Veach not giving a corner long-term money, because Veach also hadn't drafted a cornerback in the first round until Trent McDuffie.
Until they got him.
Trent McDuffie is special, and I think that's been the playbook for Brett Veach since the Tampa Bay Super Bowl. Is we have the quarterback, we're going to pay the offensive line, and we're going to pay you if you're special outside of that. So at the wide receiver position, they've drafted and they've let go. Same thing at the corner position. I think McDuffie breaks away from that mold, and you're probably thinking, well, they paid Nick Bolton, and maybe we have different feelings on Nick Bolton compared to Steve Spagnuolo. But I think Trent McDuffie is what, top three in the league minimum in terms of cornerback rankings, top five at worst.
I would argue it's some combination of Sauce Gardner, Derek Stingley Jr., Patrick Surtain II, Trent McDuffie. It's probably that combination of those are the four or five best corners in the league.
Yeah, I think Sertan's the only one that definitively clears him in my mind. And that's all, I mean, we're all, you know, getting really into the weeds there. Yeah, Trent McDuffie is a non-negotiable for me on this Chiefs defense. I think you're right. I think he is the cornerstone of the post-Chris Jones, post-Travis Kelce Chiefs era on defense.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that's why, at least for me, I'm just always going to be in the business of keeping players that I think are great. I don't think that those are contracts that really hurt you. I think paying good players great contracts are usually what get you into trouble. I don't think that paying great players what the market says that they're worth is ever really that bad of a deal. They have a great young player on their team, so you pay him. You pay him, and you're happy to pay him if that's the case. If he just continues to be what he's been, you don't need, like, we're not talking about a guy that you are paying and you are hoping that he takes another step and takes a, no, keep being what you've been. Can you be this for the next three seasons? And if you can continue to be that for the next three seasons, I would say that is a contract that simply pays for itself. I think the Chiefs are in line to have a really, really good secondary this year. I think they've drafted really well at safety. I think they're really young and versatile. You got McDuffie. I really like the addition of Christian Fulton. I think you're now moving the guys who were asking to be cornerback two. I think you're now asking them to be cornerback three or four. I think they got a lot of depth in their secondary. This might be the most versatile and complete secondary they've had during this run on defense.
Well, I think so. And you didn't even mention the kid from California that gets Jay Binkley just salivating if you say his name, this Noel Williams kid that's supposed to be, you know, really, really versatile and helpful as well. No, I'm with you. The contracts such as, and again, I'm not saying don't pay Trey Smith, but the contracts such as Juwan Taylor's, as the one they're about to hand out to Trey Smith, he's a good player. He's not an elite player.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I personally would not have paid Trey Smith. Like, right. if I could go back in time, I would not have paid him. Yeah. Like, I'm big on positional value and giving a, I think he is a very good right guard. I think he's a very good right guard. I think giving a right guard top five offensive lineman money is just huge. Like, I mean, if we're talking about he's going to make the same as Lane Johnson, I don't really think it's very close in terms of value, where if you're asking the question of where would I maybe spend a little bit less on and where I'd be willing to spend money on, well, I'd spend money on pass rush. I spend money on corner. Like, I would spend money on those things. Interior offensive lineman is just not where I'm really going to break the bank.
Agreed. I think they're getting into this this debacle with Trey Smith because of how bleak the future looked at tackle at the start of this offseason. But all that to say is it's the contracts like Trey Smith's about to get, the contracts like the one Nick Bolton just got, that can get you into those predicaments. Paying the second or third best cornerback in the NFL what that person is worth is just not a problem in my mind.
You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and the Odyssey app. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get to the top stories of the day. The Royals, they have a little winning streak going. Can they keep it going in California? Keep it right here, so Drive.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.